with a search of that well-known sadness, and I have to sit down for a while.
I was just about to say, I feel like I could do that blindfolded, and I feel like I have definitely recited that line out of the studio, word for word.
Nope. I fully was like, 92.5, the river. Yeah.
You live and you learn.
I wonder if my mic is on at all.
Oh, this does say CD1, so I will fix the profile on the board.
Ooh.
Give me 1 second. Okay, and we're going to do form mic and aux. Perfect.
While the mic is still off, I want to say that if this was me, you would be so mad.
Is that true?
Yes.
How does that sound?
Okay. Oh, yeah, I hear myself.
Do you want to go from the beginning?
This is Mona and Noah Save the World, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio.
The mic was off because I knew you would mess up.
The mic was, oh, Noah, if I had messed up the profile, you would be quivering right now. You'd be shaking. You'd be like,
is that
oh, no.
How I act?
Yes, when you're not behind the chair. I think we need to, I think we need to rotate more often because I admit that I can be kind of like lazy and careless, but you can also be very like neurotic. So we need to find a balance. I need to be more proactive and like not, you know, and like be on top of it. And you need to be okay with like letting go of being behind.
That sounds like a great introduction to our topic today.
Oh, it does. It does.
Which is sort of two things, trying to tackle a lot as we always do on this show.
As always.
We want to talk about parenting and childhood.
Yeah.
And
I know, so unrelated.
We're trying to save the world by making better parents because we are both very qualified to
do
that.
This is definitely our specialty.
If you are actual parents, take heed, because we know what's up, and I'm sure you don't.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like totally, totally true. But we also want to talk about this concept of childhood, because I feel like it's such an interesting
concept, the way we interact with it, especially as somebody who still feels in my childhood, but also knows that I'm beyond it.
Listen, I have things to say about that.
Do you still feel like a child?
Well, what's interesting is last year in my intro to sociology class, so college, we read a book about the differences between like middle class family upbringing and working class. It was like middle class and like working class slash poor because, the researcher found that basically it's like middle class and like below middle class are the two styles. Like middle class and above, below middle class are the two parenting tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And basically in the middle class today, middle class and above, like childhood is just stretched on forever because it's like, you know, your kids go to college, but they're still kind of kids and like they'll still call their parents and their parents are still super involved in like their
lives
and
some people
and
still
classes.
Even go back home after college. Back in.
Like, are we still children?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with the working class and poor families, like
the kid gets
the
a job
kid, yeah,
and they're
at
an adult.
18, like
or at
there was
16.
A yeah, but like there was a well they the, mm, I'm saying 18 because that was the books when the book followed up with them when they were like 18, 19 ish. And like one of the working class girls was like, yeah, my mom tried to give me advice and I was like it was like, quote, I'm grown. She was like, you know, like I'm a full adult now. And meanwhile, like the middle class kids were like, yeah, I called my mom because I was like sad in college. You know what I mean? It was just like very, very different. I fully still feel like a child in not every sense. I guess since coming, you know, college is like more independent and
stuff.
They
do say college makes you more independent. And I think you're like, I think I'm ready. Like, I'm very comfortable with the fact that I sort of just go home for like holidays, and even this Thanksgiving, I think I may go down with my boyfriend's family to visit his family for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So like, even then, it's like, oh yeah, maybe on some holidays I'll come home and visit everybody. Like my family has a new pet kitten, and I have we've had it for like a while now, but I've never been home to like actually meet it because I know it's far away. I just don't go home anymore.
I don't know. I feel mixed.
Sorry,
I feel
Mom
mixed because when I'm in my zone in college, I'm like, yes, independence, like living on my own, blah blah blah. This is real. This is me. But then when I go home, I guess you have younger siblings too. But like, I feel like sad. Like when my parents and my brother will be like, you know, referencing something that happened last week. Oh, you know, that thing that happened last week, here's a follow-up on that. And I'm like, I'm just not part of this.
Yeah, yeah.
And it makes me sad. I'm like, they're still creating.
Mm-hmm.
They still have this, like, family unit. So I'm curious once my brother leaves college, leaves home, like, what it'll be like. Because that dynamic will obviously no longer exist. But
yeah, my youngest brother and my oldest sister went down to... My youngest brother, who's, like, 13, went down to Florida and just had, like... a weekend, or a couple of days in Florida, I think. And I was like, wow. Like, as a kid, like, that might have been something. Like, just going out on road trips or, like, spending the weekend in a place. Like, I remember doing that pretty often because we'd always, like, oh, let's go to D.C. for the weekend and do things like that. Go to some museums. And now that I'm in college, like, I guess I can do that myself, but it's like a different experience than like, okay, everybody get in the car, we're heading out.
Yeah.
It's difficult to make plans. I was like, why don't we just take these weekend trips all the time?
Nope.
It's so hard.
So hard.
That's definitely something college also teaches you, is like, it's just hard to like have the time and energy to do things.
So true. It's funny, it's funny now, whenever I think of childhood, I always think of this experience I had where in, did your schools ever do like challenge day?
No.
It was like this day.
Well, explain it.
It was like this day where, the challenge day is like an organization and they come in and it's all about like building community and like, I remember it being legit. It was very legit. But when I describe it, like, there's no way to describe it without it sounding, like, highly fake.
The
like,
most community we built was throwing up the rainbow, like, pyramid, rainbow, like, cloth in gym class and getting underneath it. That was our community building.
It wasn't the whole school. It was, like, it was, like, a whole thing. Like, you got nominated to go to be a challenge day peer leader. And then you would go and, like, it was this full day of, like, at first it started off with like, you know, these really fun high energy icebreakers that were like actually, again, like actually fun, like not, they didn't feel weird
manufactured
and fake. Yeah, they felt, you're like, dang, this is fun. And then they were like, okay, now we're gonna get into our family groups, and there was like these small groups, and then you just like told your entire life story and everyone cried. It was like so crazy. And then everyone would come back together and do these like really solemn like activities about, which I'm about, one of them I'm about to describe. It was like, you know, like cross the line, where it's like cross the line if you have lost a parent, like cross the line.
Oh, yeah,
if,
yeah, yeah. I've done that type of thing before. Here at Tufts, actually.
Yeah. But the thing that worked, that actually, you know, just did work about this challenge today thing is because it was a full day, again, because it started with like a solid like 2 hours of like fun things, you actually did feel close to
all
the people,
the people.
And like comfortable, because it wasn't like they were just like, okay, get into groups, tell your life, you know what I mean? It felt like a like, you know, community building.
You actually had time to bond.
Yeah. And so by the time you got to this cross the line thing, everyone was like, we're all so close, you know what I mean? But basically, sorry, that was a long explanation, but one of the cross the line things was, oh my god, I'm gonna cry. It was like, it was cross the line if you've ever been a child. And so, you know, most people, this was like one of the,
what?
This was the last one, actually. This was the last one. It was like cross the line if you've ever been a child. And everyone crossed except for our school principal, who was like sobbing. Because I guess the implication was like, you know, never having that childhood experience and like having to like, you know, like not having that. Because I guess we, I guess the implication, the like association with being a child in childhood was like, you know, innocence and fun and freedom, and it was so sad. And then the whole, everyone else just was like it was so, it was really, it was very
that
emotional.
That sounds very intense.
It was very intense.
Yeah, I guess, I think childhood is one of those things where there's the technical definition of like, you're under the age of 18, that makes you a child. But it's obviously so much more than that. It's, but I think people would definitely disagree based on their experiences what like, good adjectives to fully describe it are. I mean, I think a lot of people would say like innocent and then, like ideally, but also maybe not.
Maybe not, yeah. I also think it's funny because when I think about childhood, quote unquote, for me it's like under 10, because after that it's like adolescence.
Yeah, that's fair.
And my childhood was so like childhoody, which ironically, I mean, there's the, obviously there's the like, quote unquote, like lack of childhood because of like, you know, like hardship and trauma, but today I feel like there's also the lack of childhood because of like
anxiety.
Yeah,
I think that's something that like, probably, let's get into our parenting section, maybe a lot of parents don't fully understand, is like, it's like, you're a kid, you don't have anything to worry about, and it's like, I'm 6 and I'm worried about my college. I'm worried about the planet ending.
Well, don't you think that's because of the parenting a lot of times?
I think in some ways it can be influenced that by that. Like, I think some of it is definitely the case, but I think a lot of it is also like whatever your peers are doing. And like the way, one of the tracks to get into an Ivy League school is to send your kid starting in preschool to the most elite and prestigious and like grooming education institutions to prepare them for, obviously this is something mostly only very few wealthy people can do, but like,
yeah, but know what you said, the parents are the ones sending them to be influenced by these peers, so I feel like it all kind of goes back
true,
to
but
the
like
parents.
The parents are also like in theory acting in the best interest. Mm-hmm. Here's something. In high school, I like to do a lot of theater.
Ah,
and
we love that.
The fall play was always coinciding with cross country.
Mm.
And my mom was like, you have to be well-rounded to get into college. So, like, you have a lot of, like, very creative, like, stuff, things. Like, you need to also be really good at cross country. I wasn't bad at cross country. I was pretty good, I'd like mm-hmm. to say. But, like, I would skip, like, 60% of the practices because I would have rehearsal.
Mm.
And so that was like a point of contention between us. And she was like, every time she was like, Noah, I'm just trying to make sure that you have as many options in your future as possible, because I don't ever want you to feel like a door is closed that could have been opened if you had just done these things. And I was like, let me live my life. I just want to do theater. So, I mean, I am at Tufts, and I, like, at some points I did, like, I know. It was a point of contention in my, see, I was in high school, but it still feels like my childhood.
Yeah. Not,
like, when you're older, everything
of course
feels younger.
Well, the book I read that I was talking about also covered this, because basically in the middle class and above families, the schedules of these, like, six-year-olds, because that was when the main study was, were, like, insane. The parents were stressed. The kids were stressed. And the researcher was, like, the childhood, quote-unquote, of these kids was, like, not a childhood. Whereas the childhood of the working-class kids was, like...
completely?
Yeah, it was, like, you know, playing and freedom and...
Is it because the parents don't have the time and resources to, like, enroll them in all of these classes and programs?
So it was such an interesting book. On the one hand, yes... but it wasn't just that. It was also just, like, basically her finding was, like, just, like, the values, again, of what it means to be a good parent. It was, like, culturally different. And again, you know, she asked all these questions. Well, like, does the culture come from the resources? And I think she found yes. I think she found that because, like, a lot of the middle class parents, their parents were working class. But, like, they still did all the middle class things. Like, it wasn't like they were like, no, well, not in my family, we do it this way. Like, but it wasn't just like, I don't know. It was like, it was complicated. But the sad thing is that then when she followed up with them when they were like 18, 19, et cetera, it was the reverse. The middle class kids were like entering kind of like the blossoming of their youth. You know, they were young and beautiful and happy. Whereas a lot of the working class and poor teenagers were like really suffering.
And we were sad.
Were like not even beginning their jobs, like had been working for years.
They're like,
some
my
had
childhood
children.
Is forever.
Yeah,
over.
Some like had their own children. Wow. One like had a child that then she had to like give to her sister. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, okay, well then, can you not have both?
Is there no, well, can you? Do for society to function, do some children just have to go through rigorous schedules because that's the only way to like become qualified enough to like go to college? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But also, like, does it help?
I think there's rigorous schedules, and then there's the attitudes behind those schedules. Like, I was a very, again, you know, typical, like, middle plus. Like,
yeah, I think I wrote my college essays about like, actually about finishing a cross-country meet, getting, like, I was like, I crossed the finish line, and then I ran straight to my mom's car, and we had to drive over to the high school where rehearsal was going on.
Oh my gosh.
And, like, my whole life, I've always done as much as I can because I want to, like, do it all.
Yeah.
And, like, when I come to college, I, like, can't wait to, like, be in a chem lab, but also, like, go sledding on Prez Lawn.
Aww.
Do all these things, and
you do all those things.
I do.
You
think I tried to do all the things.
You stay true to your word.
It's exhausting, Mona.
I know. Well, that's the thing. Is it worth it all the time? Like, is it sustainable?
I only have one life. You know, like every day that goes by, I can't get it back. And
yeah, but do you want to burn out?
I don't think I'm burning out.
Okay, well then that's different. I feel like there's a difference between just being like, exhausted but like satisfied and like being like, oh my god, I'm gonna burn out.
After dropping Comp 11, I have gone there from exhausted and tired and nervous all the time to exhausted
but like
satisfied,
okay,
and
good.
Fulfilled. Sorry, Comp 11, great class, just
so
way
like
too much
of,
work.
Yeah.
Way too much work.
Seems like way too much.
For an elective class.
Yeah, it's not like you were, yeah. No. I don't know, but like, I feel like, oh yeah, I was gonna say, like, I had that schedule, but there was no, like, I don't know, and again, speaking about, like, mm-hmm. parenting, my parents were never like,
you have to do this.
Yeah, you have to do this, and you're gonna do this to go to, they were like, yeah, like, we
encourage
we'll
support
you, to,
you
yeah,
to do these
to support,
things.
You know, we support your passions. So it didn't feel like I was like, I felt like I still had, you know, a quote-unquote, like, childhood.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Like, I did a lot of things, but mostly they were things I wanted to do. And, like, yeah, sometimes my mom would be like, study for the SAT, and I'd be like, oh, I really don't mm-hmm. want to. And I would a little bit. And sometimes I wouldn't, and I'd be like, oh, I really should have. I mean, like, I think, like, most of the time I would do all of my school... Actually, all of the time I would do all of my schoolwork of my, like, own volition. Mm. Just because I was like, school is interesting. I'm learning a lot. I like doing this. Which I think, like, how did I learn to do that? Like, what mm-hmm. instilled in me that, like, yeah, I enjoy school because I feel like it is socially, like, the culture that, like, kids should hate school.
Mm-hmm.
And except for, like, a couple kids who, like, love it mm-hmm. and are obsessed with it. And they'll succeed and go to the
oh
best
gosh,
colleges.
Yeah.
And everybody else will just, like, be okay.
My dad always was so... He was... When my brother and I would say, like, we hate school, my dad would be like, it is a privilege to have an education. And we'd be like, okay. Like, that was not a topic. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm.
was like we were like, okay. It was not tolerated. I mean, I'm probably exaggerating. I think we said it multiple times. But he never was like, yeah, I understand. He was like... And he wasn't angry either. He would get sad and he would be mm-hmm. like, I wish you could see what a privilege it was to have such a good education. Like, I wish.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a shame that you're.
That you feel this way.
Yeah, that you feel this way.
That's fair.
Which pretty much sums up my entire school district. Like, because it was such a good school district, but everyone was like,
I hate it.
I hate it. And it's like, what a shame because it's really good. So, I mean, obviously, I had problems, but you know. Interesting. Oh, I feel like I was going to say something about parenting related to
We should maybe start talking about parenting a little bit more. I feel like we've talked a lot
like we've mixed
loosely about childhood. True, I guess we've tried to incorporate it.
Like, what are you looking for in our parent? And just also, I feel like once we did discuss parenting, but now I can't remember. Like, I feel like it's come up, maybe.
I feel like it's such
once,
a, like,
I remember,
central topic.
Because we're always like, there's no... I remember once you were like, should we have rules about who can and can't be a parent? Like, there's no ethical way to do that, but the fact that, like, anyone can just, like, have a kid and raise it is, like...
Tufts, I'm a... Or WMFO listeners, it has been a long-term stress of mine. I plan to adopt children. I would like to adopt children from birth. I would like to adopt 3 or 4 children. That's, like, my life plan, kind of.
But...
I have spent so long... trying to find sort of like 2 gay men who have adopted children from birth to talk to me about that experience and like to gain advice from
modern
them.
Modern family.
I have failed to find anybody. I've tried so long. Everybody, like, if you've been friends with me long enough, I'm sure I have asked you, hey, by chance, do you want any
you've
men
never
who have
asked me that.
Do you know?
No.
Nobody
only
knows.
Modern family.
That doesn't help.
What about what's-his-face and what's-his-face? Neil Patrick Harris.
I'm not going to just... I want to, like...
You can, like, research that.
I want to get lunch
you want an actual talk
with,
to
like,
okay, wait, I'm curious
humans.
About the emphasis on at birth. Like, you're not...
It just...
Like, why exclude the entire foster care system?
It just feels like I want from that, like, moment... Like, I want the kid to be... Entirely.
Wait. You mean from birth?
Yeah, like...
that's, like, kind of... Those are long wait lists.
I know, Mona.
You
it's
don't
so
even,
hard. It is so difficult
even,
to adopt
you don't
children
even
from
mean,
birth.
Like, baby from an orphanage?
I would like
Noah, that's
from birth.
Impossible.
Mona.
Noah. Do you not think everyone else thinks that?
I know how difficult it is, and I want to... So, the difficulty is, like, I want to talk to these people because I know that I need to be doing things now to make myself,
like,
a good candidate.
Yeah.
So that, like...
In, like, 20 years. Well, you have to go
well,
on
like
a wait 10 list.
Years.
Yeah, these wait lists are, like, aren't they, like, 10, 20, like 10, 15 years long?
I think they're, like, 3 or 4 years long.
I don't think they're that. That doesn't sound very long. To get from birth?
3 or 4 years is, like, 5 pregnancies.
Noah, I applaud your ambition, but, like, dang... As they say on WMFO's lack of swearing. I wish you luck, but I also would suggest you be open to other...
I am. I like...
Because, like, that's going to be really hard. You, I feel like you'd have to know someone personally.
Yeah, and they don't want a surrogate.
Yeah, so, again, we all want many things.
I know, but children feel...
I would like a lot of things in my life.
Okay,
but
it's different that this is, like, a child.
I know, but again, it'd be one thing if you were the only person in the world who was like, but doesn't, I feel like most adoptive parents start from where you are and then are like, well, I
guess
tried.
We compromise.
Yeah. From birth. Wow.
It's an experience that literally every single other person in this world can have. Not every single other person. Like, all straight people, most straight people can just have that experience without even thinking about it. It can happen completely accidentally.
But everyone still has to... You're underestimating finding a partner. Being like, does this
partner
suck?
Already.
No, I know. No. I'm saying it's not like straight people magically have these lifelong partners where they're like...
You don't need a partner to have a baby.
Okay, but you want to have... You want your child's, you know... Hopefully, I mean, you want your both... Like, you... I mean, I don't want to sound weird and like... geneticist-y, but like you want your child's genetic makeup to be something you're like, you know, you don't want to just have a child with anyone.
I don't care.
You would just... Oh, I mean, I guess that is what adoption
like,
is.
I plan on adopting a child that I have no idea what the characteristics of.
I know, but I feel like that's different than having it be like half your genes.
Well, yeah, like, I don't want that.
Yeah, exactly. But like, I'm not just going to go have a child with anyone.
And I mean,
I feel
it
like
happens.
Most people I know right now, I would not consider good father candidates. So, yeah,
that's.
I don't think it's easy for anyone. Is what I'm saying. I guess it's easier biologically
is possible.
Is possible. I wonder. Oh my god. I feel like in 300 years they're gonna find some way to like.
I feel like in 20 years.
20 years.
That's my hope.
I feel like there are more important priorities in the next 20 years.
Fair.
Hey, this is another thing is like, when people are like...
How do you raise your kids in the era of climate change? Is that...
When people are like, oh my God, like, what is it? Like, technology that just doesn't need to exist. And I'm like, why can't you put your effort elsewhere? Oh, one was like, my dad said he met a man who worked for like a flying car company. And he was like, or you could do literally anything else.
Big, good take, I think. I think there's...
Literally anything else.
It's all where the money is. That's where people work.
How is there any money in that industry?
Because I know Saudi Arabia is very interested in flying cars.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, people who have everything always want even more everything. You know?
Yeah. Wait. I feel like there's a song on the tip of my tongue, but I can't remember what it is.
A song on the tip of your tongue.
Ooh, that sounds like a good song to write.
A song on the tip of my tongue.
Song on the tip of my tongue.
That could be fun.
Song on the tip of my tongue.
A meta song about songs.
Ooh. I just wanna write the song. Oh, I know what it is. It's the I hope you dance.
Okay.
Let's play it. It's time.
Let's play it. Yes, indeed. It is 7:30.
Yeah, we've been really poor with our, like, song game.
I feel like we've had some good conversations, though. So
yeah, you're right.
Tis fine, in my opinion.
Oh my gosh, I love this song. It's so cheesy. This is I Hope You Dance by Leanne Womack.
Sorry, I went off on you about your, like...
Some numbers to think about. The United States has less than 5% of the planet's population, but incarcerates 24% of its prisoners and accounts for 43% of the world's total military spending. This is a public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
That's like your dream PSA. Did you turn, is my mic on? I feel like it's fully not on.
It is.
It is on? Oh, I see. On. Okay, I hear it. It was a scratch. That's literally, did you write that?
Who would know if I did?
Wait, did you?
No.
What is it? Wait, this is, I thought if you incarcerate 24% of your prisoners.
Of the world's incarcerated people, oh, we have 24.
I was like,
despite
isn't that?
Being.
I was like, what? Okay. Yeah, that's unfortunate and terrible. Anyway, back to I Hope You Dance.
Yes.
A very cheesy, ridiculous song.
Kind of like. I know the message is like, go for the opportunities, like, don't have regrets, like, don't miss out on the chances. Just so sad.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know.
But I think it's a lesson for parents in, like, spend time with your kids, you know? Right? Isn't that, like, the thing parents regret is, like, not spending time with their kids?
Yeah, those are, like, those, you know, those sad, like, Humans of New York posts. Like, there was one kind of recently where it was, like, this woman who was, like, yeah, you know, it was, like, about her cancer diagnosis. And then she was, like, it was so crazy. She was, like, at the end of the day, I'm so grateful because I never would have spent any time with my daughter. All I did was work. Mm. And, like, this forced me to, like, think about my priorities. And I was, like, that's a hot take. That's a hot take.
That's a scary take.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's also another thing I've grappled with is, like, I know my boyfriend wants to be a lawyer. He wants to, like, eventually become a judge.
Ooh,
that's like
a judge.
A lot of work and a pretty strict career path. I would like to do research in chemistry and, like, eventually earn my, like, PhD in chemistry and, like, keep doing research. But also, I want 3 kids. And, like, I want to spend a lot of time with those kids. And how does that intersect? In today's society, not very well. Yeah, you can't have it all.
I mean, you could have it all, and then you would just have to find lots of childcare.
Which I don't want to do.
Yeah.
I want to be the one to care for my child.
Again. Not to expose you on air, but this is today's episode of Noah States What Literally Every Person
Noah has
thinks.
Too high of ambitions.
No, but I mean, I really see where you're coming from. It's so weird.
We need a 3-day work week. That's my take.
3 days?
3-day work week.
I feel like 4.
We start with 4-day work week. Then we eventually, by the time that I'm raising my kids, get it down to 3 days. We should have a 4-day work week right now, America.
Or I would be fine with having a 5-day work week with much shorter days.
Much shorter days?
I mean, 9 to 5 is ridiculous.
That's true.
I feel like over the summer, I worked 10 to 4, and it was it was more than enough. I was like 10 to 3 is ideal.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like I would like 10 to 3.
I also worked 10 to 4. It's a lot.
It's a lot. And I was like, I actually cannot imagine doing this from 9 to 5.
It's just, yeah, good takes. Shorter work weeks. Everybody, unionize. Fight. We can do it. Possible. Yes. Raise minimum wage.
Yeah, well,
the number of hours.
The raising minimum wage stuff has been, you know, fairly successful.
Yeah, it's been happening.
It's been happening.
Keep fighting. Keep pushing.
What was your favorite song when you were a child? Oh, this is actually, oh my gosh, I wish Maddie was here. Maddie and I had a whole, we wanted, once, I was like, if Noah's ever not here, you're going to come and we're going to do this. So, not to take Maddie and I's idea, but we were talking about those songs that your parents play in the car when you're a kid that just become like associated with your childhood, and they're like random songs from like the 70s. No, like the CDs your parents always had in the car. Like ABBA was one of them for me. Annie Lennox. Missy Elliott, of all people. My dad was really into Missy Elliott, so he had a Missy Elliott CD.
You know what this is all making me think of?
Do tell.
So back when my family used to, like, go on a lot of road trips.
Yeah, I want to hear more about your road trips.
Well, okay, so one of the features of these road trips is, like, at the beginning, my mom would buy a big bag of candy.
Aww.
And we would do trivia and, like, we would, like, learn on the road trips. And, like,
oh, my God, of course.
And, like, wherever we were going, there'd be trivia about that. There'd be trivia about, like, who can do multiplication the fastest, you
Ooh.
Know. All my siblings would, like, we'd all compete, answer this trivia, get the candy. Very fun times. We also did books on tape. My family was super, we had the VCR in the car. You
yes.
popped the VCR.
VCR, not even CD.
Maybe later on it was CD. I think maybe at the very beginning.
Wow.
I remember some VCRs on tape. I think. Maybe I'm wrong. But, not VCRs,
we're the last people who will ever remember VCRs. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Like, even the people a few years younger than us. Nope, no VCR.
So we did a lot of books on tape. That was a lot of fun. I have distinct memories of listening to, A Wrinkle in Time on VCR.
That's a good one.
But another thing we did, probably the worst and best thing of all time, was Hip Hop History.
No!
Which were raps about U.S. history. They were
no
so bad. But also, like, I know all of them, I
think. Come on, please play one
immediately. I'm trying to find it.
Okay, if you don't find it, the way what reminded me, of course, you know Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah.
But, like, Schoolhouse Rock was good. You're saying this wasn't good?
I don't know if I could,
oh my gosh,
in good faith, describe it as good.
There are so many good. Did you ever do the PEMDAS song, My Dear Aunt PEMDAS?
It's not that hard to just learn PEMDAS.
No, it was a great song. It was, like, about this person's aunt. It was so funny.
Apparently, hip hop history is, like,
there was a bunch of,
five,
oh my God,
different music.
There was a bunch
groups
of chemistry songs that was like, it was like, there was one to Dancing Queen. It was like all these different elements, but I can't remember what they are, of course. It was like element one, element two, make element three. But I don't remember what that was because I don't remember any chemistry. But
all I'm getting is, like,
okay, well, play Schoolhouse Rock.
What Schoolhouse Rock?
Play a
Bill.
Or a Bill. Conjunction Junction.
Conjunction Junction's a classic.
Yeah, the Bill one is also a classic, excuse me. I'm just a Bill. That one's so good.
Here's Conjunction Junction by... This might be children singing. Should I find the actual
one? No, you have to find the actual
okay.
one. I don't want to hear.
Sorry, listeners.
Listen, please.
Okay, I think this is it. Everyone, please enjoy. May take a minute. We might get an ad, as we always do. Did you listen to a lot of Schoolhouse Rock as a kid, Mona?
In school.
In school. I see.
In school. But not even a lot. It was just iconic whenever we did.
I see. That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Conjunction Junction.
Your body grows bigger.
Your mind must flower.
It's great to learn.
Because knowledge is power.
In Schoolhouse Rockin', the chip off the block of your favorite Schoolhouse Rock.
You've been waiting for Conjunction Junction.
Conjunction Junction, what's your function?
Hooking up words and phrases and clauses.
Conjunction Junction, how's that function?
I got three favorite cards that get most of my job done.
Conjunction Junction, what's their function?
I got and, but, and, or, they'll get you pretty far. And, that's an additive, like this and that. Or the opposite, not this, but that. And then there's or, O-R, when you have a choice like this or that. And but nor get you pretty far.
Conjunction Junction, what's your function?
Hooking up two boxcars, making them run right. Milk and honey, bread and butter, peas and rice.
Hey, that's nice.
Dirty but happy, digging and scratching, losing your shoe and a button or two. He's poor but honest, sad but true. Boo-hoo-hoo-hoo!
Conjunction, Junction, what's your function?
Hooking up two cards to one when you say something like this. Choice, either now or later, or no choice. Neither now nor ever.
Hey, that's clever.
Eat this or that, grow thin or fat. Never mind, I wouldn't do that, I'm fat enough now.
Conjunction, Junction, what's your function?
Hooking up phrases and clauses that balance like out of the frying pan and into the fire. He cut loose the sandbags, but the balloon wouldn't go any higher. Let's go up to the mountains or down to the seas. You should always say thank you or at least say please.
Conjunction, what's your function?
Hooking up words and phrases and clauses in complex sentences like in the mornings when I'm usually wide awake, I love to take a walk through the gardens and down by the lake, where I often see a duck and a drake. And I wonder as I walk by just what they'd say if they could speak. Although I know that's an absurd thought.
Conjunction, Junction, what's your function?
Hooking up cars and making them function.
Conjunction, Junction, how's that function?
I like tying up words and phrases and clauses.
Conjunction, Junction, watch that function.
I'm gonna get you there if you're very careful.
Conjunction, Junction, what's your function?
I'm going to get you there if you're very careful.
Conjunction, Junction, what's your function?
An absolute classic.
I agree.
So iconic.
Lots of fun.
What is your function, Noah?
My function is to adopt kids.
I'm so sorry. Listeners, I want to apologize for my insensitive destruction of Noah earlier. I know he's trying his best, and I applaud his dreams. And I think if anyone can beat the odds, it's him. He's well prepared. He is well intentioned. He's definitely like the most qualified person to be a parent, and the adoption people will see that and they will just birth a child for him. The agency themselves will birth the child for him.
Thank you, Mona. I appreciate that.
Yes. I'm glad you accepted
and,
apology.
And I'll take that to the adoption clinic and be like, what more could you want? And they're like, $40,000 and a guaranteed career of... Yeah.
Have you seen The Kids Are All Right? Noah, have you seen this movie? It's so messed up, but it's so good.
I don't think so. Are the kids not all right?
It's not messed up in like a disturbing way. It's like messed up in like... Let me just tell you. It's about... Oh my gosh. It was like this big Oscar movie. It has Mark Ruffalo in it, Julianne Moore, Annette Bening, Josh Hutcherson, and Mia Wasikowska, whatever her name is. And Annette Bening and Julianne Moore are a lesbian couple with their two beautiful children, Josh Hutcherson and Mia. I'm infamous for never referring to people by their character names, just as the actors inhabiting the roles. So Mia and Josh are like these two teenagers, and basically like they get in touch. Oh, because the girl turns 18, so she can get in touch with her birth father, because each one of them was born, like was the, like each one of the mothers had a child
with
the same sperm donor. So, like, they share a father, and then, like, one of them, the mother, is that one. Yeah,
and the other
so
is the mother.
It's so interesting. Yeah. So, and they, like, joke about it and stuff, and it's like, well, it's your G. Like, it's super funny. But so you have that. And then, so then they get in touch with the birth father, who is Mark Ruffalo, which, you know, like, I would take Mark Ruffalo as my birth father. And their lesbian moms are super, like, professional. Again, you know, like, professional career woman, and Mark Ruffalo is this like womanizing restaurant owner who has like no purpose in life other than to like just, I mean, he has a restaurant, mm-hmm. but he like has a motorcycle and
just lives by his id.
Yeah, but of course, you know, he takes the children, you know, the children take to him, and then the moms find out and they're like, oh my god. And so then they're like, let's invite him to dinner, blah blah blah, and they're like, we don't approve of him, blah blah blah. But then the crazy part is that
Mark Ruffalo's character has an affair with Julianne Moore's character. And that is when it gets very sad because it, you know, breaks up the family.
One of the moms.
Yeah. And then she's like...
That feels like a bad take.
No, it because, well, they have an affair and then the other mom finds out and is obviously heartbroken. And then she doesn't, like, leave the mom for... Then Mark Ruffalo gets out of the picture. And then the family stays together, but without Mark Ruffalo. Like, Mark Ruffalo gets, like, kicked out of the... Because they have this new unconventional family where they all get along and stuff. And then Mark Ruffalo's out. And then it's like, at the end, it's like, he comes back and is like, to the daughter, he's like, is there a chance for us to like reconcile? And she's like, I don't know. So then you're like, sad. But then, because like Mark Ruffalo's character does go through like, a, you know, an arc. You mm-hmm. know? He's not a total jerk. Like he has this arc, but it's too late for him. And then, but at the end, there's some signs that like she's, the daughter's packing up for college and she like brings like a hat that he gave her. You know what I mean? Like there's signs of, and then the end, you know, the mom's kind of like, because they all say goodbye to the daughter. And then the son is like, you guys can't break up. Like, and then they're like, okay. But where was I going with this? Oh, where I was going with this is that there's a whole thing about how, of course, to be a sperm donor, he had to fill out, you know, all these forms and stuff. And the moms were like, we chose your sperm because you were in grad school to become, they were like, you were going to go to law school. And then he was like, yeah, but then I decided not to. I decided, like, screw the school system. So it was, like, a hot take on how, you know, these, like, arbitrary ways of measuring who's fit to be a parent.
Yeah, who's tall and you have to be, right, above 6 foot.
What? To be what?
To be a sperm donor.
Really?
That's what I hear.
Oh, my God, that's so funny.
Maybe above 5'10".
It was so funny. They were like, we literally chose you because we thought you were like us. We thought you were all driven and stuff. He was like, no, I dropped out of school. Like, soon after writing that.
Interesting.
So I thought that was odd. You would like that movie. It's pretty... I can see you're unhappy about the fact that they had an affair, but you're supposed to be unhappy about it.
But, like, I feel like it's a problematic take that a lesbian woman would have an affair with.
No, but they totally addressed that. Like, it's very, like, addressed.
I also, there's a TV show, Queer as Folk, that I watched. It's the early 2000s. It's about, like, a bunch of, like, LGBT people living in the early 2000s, kind mm-hmm. of. All these relationships. And there's, like, a similar plot where, like, these two women have a child with, like, one of their friends' sperm. But, like one of the lesbians like has an affair with this man and it's like this just like isn't
but like
no.
you're supposed that's what the reaction you're supposed to have. You're not supposed to be like yes girl, like you're supposed to be like no. I remember watching the movie and being like why is this happening? This movie was going so well.
I just don't understand like it's not a trope. I feel that like gay men who are in a relationship like one of them will like maybe this isn't WMFO approved, but like that one of them will like have an affair with a woman. Like that's not a trope, but I do think it is a trope that like lesbian couples, one of them will elope with a man. And then it's like, who even are you? Because it's like, I know.
I guess I don't
sexuality
know.
Sexuality very much can be fluid for some people, but for other people, it's like not.
Well, she says the wife is like, well, like, are you like not? She's like, no, I'm, like, fully gay. Like, it was just, like, like, he's like, oh, my God, it's so messy. He professes his love to her, and he's like, I love you. Let's run away together. And she's like, no, I'm gay. Like, she's like, no, I'm, like, it's, like, so messy. I think you would like it. It's not, like, they're not, like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's very much, like, presented as, like, a problematic thing.
I guess this is just, like, for some reason, I see this as, like, a trope, and I'm, like.
That's
what
a weird trope.
Weird trope to exist.
I think it's a trope of like, you know, women needing men to like rescue them.
Yeah. I feel like
it's like a very much
our society very much like it like ostracizes gay men and it's like, oh, lesbian women can like just need
yeah.
a good man. And it's like
that's okay. Also like I've
have you ever heard someone say to a gay man, you just need a good woman?
It's like yeah, but that's totally what they say to yeah, to
it's a mess.
Yeah.
Society and gender and sexuality is a mess.
Wait, but I feel like on Tufts campus, I know a lot of women who are like, bisexuality is fluid. Like,
yeah, I know
so
a lot
many.
Of men also.
Really? Because all the men I know
are, like,
are either straight or gay.
Or bi.
Yeah, but like very few. But like most of the women I know are like, I'm anything. Isn't that weird?
I think it's a lot of social conditioning. I feel like if you're a man, you kind of have to commit because it's a whole different life.
Mm-hmm.
But like for women, I feel like that might be less so.
It's definitely more social. I don't know. Especially like, I feel like in college, like, it's like experimenting.
You like find out that a woman's a lesbian. You're like, oh, okay.
Whereas well, not like, always. You just know. Not always.
That's true. Maybe I'm generalizing too much, but.
Interesting.
I know. Everybody, live your best lives.
Yeah, that's our parenting
advice. Do what you want.
Yeah. I hope you all had a good job.
Our parenting advice, if you can set rules for your child, but like, talk to them about why you set them in such a way. And if they break them, talk about, and they have good reasons for breaking them, that's fine.
This came out of nowhere, Noah.
This is what AP Psych in high school taught me, was how to
very
be a good parent.
Clearly, yeah.
It's just like
that middle. Yeah, we.
It's pretty much how to do anything
called.
Good in life is communication.
Assimilation. No, it's not authoritative. It's authoritarian, and then like too relaxed. And
let's
then
see if
the
I can
one.
Find it. Let's see if I
also,
can.
So, what
find
song
it.
Are we gonna close with?
Do you have a favorite childhood song?
Like, yes, but I can't remember.
Like, it looks like
dancing
permissive,
queen.
Authoritarian.
Permissive, authoritarian, and assertive?
And authoritative.
Oh.
Authoritarian, authoritative, and permissive. Permissive is where you're, like, super hands-off. You just
yeah,
let your kids
really
grow.
Bad.
Yeah, leads to problems. Authoritarian is where
really
you're too strict. You don't compromise on any of your rules. You set too high of standards. Also very bad.
My entire town.
Authoritative is, like, not a mix between both.
No,
but
it's
like
in between.
It's like a better, it's just better than both because yeah. You like, yeah, you have rules, but like you're flexible and like you like, it's pretty much just like treat your kid like a functioning human being and respect that they like have autonomy and like have values and will make decisions based off of that. And like, if you think they have bad values, tell them why you think that. Mm. If you think they have good values, support them in that. I know I'm not a parent, but I feel like I'm so ready for kids. Is that final question? Are you ready for kids?
Absolutely not, Noah. Are you kidding me?
Absolutely. I'm so ready. Like, if
you
wanted,
were to give me a child right now.
If you want to give me a child, call in to WMFO. We can pick
if you
a range
were to give
of
me
time
a child,
and a place.
I would be like, hi, friend. I would be like, hello, peer.
To a baby.
Not to a baby.
A newborn infant. You'd be like, hello, fellow college student.
No, I would be like, hello, fellow infant. I feel like an infant. I'm an infant. We have to pick a song. What's a good song? I would say Dancing Queen, but we already did an ABBA song. I'm trying to think. There was this album my parents had, but of course, now I can't remember any. I can picture the album, but I can't remember anything on it.
We could always play, like, a classic childhood song. We could always play, like,
the duck
Baby
song.
Shark or the Duck
yeah.
song. Things.
But, like, I want, like, a... Can we play Dynamite by Tayo Cruz? I just feel like that's appropriate.
The
for
song of our childhoods.
Wasn't that like the song of our like right before teenage?
That's the song
hood?
Of our childhood. The like song of our adolescence. Say it. I know you're thinking what I'm thinking.
What?
The song of our adolescence, or like,
what was the song
from the
of
age
our
of 10 to 14? You
10 to 14.
You know it.
Which year? Like 2011-ish.
Just like that whole experience. I don't know the year the song came out. I'm just saying, I know that you can guess.
Like
this
I
song.
Know, but like you have to be more specific. Like. What? It's not Dynamite. Is it like Sexy and I Know It? Firework, like Fire. Was it Katy Perry?
No.
Sexy and I Know It.
No.
Was it a
it's
Lady
like
Gaga
emotional.
Song?
It's emotional.
We Are Young by Fun.
It's We Are Young.
Yeah, We Are
that
Young
is
by
like,
Fun.
In my opinion,
yeah, for sure.
When there's movies
no, you're so right.
about our
yeah,
childhood,
yeah. It'll
it's
always
be like
We Are
We
Fun.
Are Young. We Are Young by are Fun. Young.
So is I someone think coming?
Should in honor of that, we will play it.
Until the next person comes.
This is Mona and Noah Save the World, and
oh,
you're
yeah.
listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio.
With 2 seconds to spare, you made it, Noah.
This song does not say it's